Hey, this is Frank Martin, and you're listening to Signal of Doom.
Hey, this is Chuck Dixon, and you're listening to Signal of Doom.
Well, you know, for me, the action is the juice. I'm in.
Hello and welcome to Signal of Doom. You're here with Dave, and I have a guest today. A guest has come to the Signal deep inside the swamp. Hello to Frank Martin. Frank, how are you?
I am great. Tired, but great.
Tired, but great. Now, Frank's here to talk about his new comic book entitled Modern Testament. Am I right, Frank?
Yes, Modern Testament. It's kind of like an old comic book that's going to become new again now that I've combined it all into a trade where you can get the whole series in one book.
And I was reading some issues, Frank, some of the stories, you know, I read three of the stories. Really interesting stuff. Like, it's kind of like I was really good. Thank you for the copy, Frank. I really kind of like I went in, I dug in. You never know what you're going to get when someone hands you the book. You're always like, I hope this is good. You know? And it was. It's really interesting stuff, Frank. Now, just to set the scene, where are you based? I'm hearing a U.S. accent. Am I right in saying?
Yeah, I'm from New York. I'm just outside the city.
Okay. I could hear that accent coming loud and through clear through the screen. Now, Frank, give us some background and some detail on this book, because what I read, the three I read, am I right in saying there's kind of like, I'm not a religious guy myself, but there seemed to be a fairly kind of like, it was kind of like an alternate religious take almost on like almost the Bible. I mean, am I right? I mean,
yeah, I get that question a lot. And for me, I'm treating it more less religious and more mythology wise.
Sure. Okay.
The characters and the creations. I'm not coming at it from a religious standpoint, but I'm treating the dogma more of as like a mythology where I'm taking each individual entity that's based out of the history of the religion, and I'm focusing it more on like a story wise. I try to liken it to maybe Lucifer from DC or Constantine or maybe Ghost Rider, the fact that they're dealing with demons, but it's not necessarily rooted in any sort of religious aspect of it.
I hear you, and I mean all those examples are fantastic examples. I'm a big Constantine fan, and there's some interesting stuff there. Now, one I really enjoyed that really popped off to me was the one about the two genies.
Yeah, that was a fun one to put together.
Yeah, but take us through it, Frank. Like, so basically, from what you were saying to me, all these you've kind of done, you commissioned the artist and paid for it yourself and are now looking to kickstart the whole trade. Am I right?
Yeah. So originally it was published by Insane Comics, who is now kind of closed up shop.
Sure.
But they put out four volumes of the series, and each of them had a couple stories in it. And I've decided to put out a trade. That's what the Kickstarter is for, to combine all the stories. So now you can get everything that the series has to offer in one book.
That's interesting. And I mean, one thing I must say that I was struck by was the quality of art. Like often with, you know, when, I don't know what your history is, Frank, but when you're trying to break through, you know, it can be tough getting artists to commit, and they're obviously expensive and stuff. I'm like, but I noticed the quality of art was very professional and combined with these really tight stories. You've got a really tight way of telling a story that I really responded to.
Thanks. But that's kind of why this book was so fun to put together, in that I didn't really have to commit myself for a long period of time to one art team to tell one story, because it's an anthology and they're all short stories. Some are 5 pages, some are 8 pages, some are 12 pages. Sure. I got to have so many different styles that I worked with, so many different art teams that I didn't have to commit to one for such a long period of time. So it was like short bursts where I can work on a story and then I had my fill of it and move on to something that's completely different.
Yeah, and can I ask you, where did you, because I mean this is something that a lot of listeners are a Signal of Doom, there's quite a few aspiring comic book, you know, creators and stuff. Where did you find your artists in general? Were you on DeviantArt? Were these people in in your own personal life? What was the story?
It was kind of a mix of everything. I think everybody I kind of found online.
Yeah.
But it was a mix of reaching out to people in Facebook groups, putting ads on forums, finding somebody on, like you said, DeviantArt, and just messaging them and say, hey, I got this idea for a story. Are you interested in doing some pages? So it was kind of – I didn't really find anybody from one source. It was a mixture of everything.
Which I think is how you have to do it these days, isn't it? You have to be a bit hungry and go searching. I got to say, one story that really stuck out to me from when I read it was the God Complex story. The art, like, it's a great story. It's almost a bit, Planetary by Warren Ellis. I could almost see some detective influences from something like that, perhaps. But the art is great in God Complex. It's a really neat story.
That's kind of why. I mean, it was challenging at one point, but it's kind of fun at the other, in that every story is so different. So I have to kind of approach it, be like, this story, what type of art style do I want from it? Because some stories are more horror-based, mm-hmm. so I want to get grim, darker art to it. Some stories are actually comedic in nature.
Yeah.
That's in the anthology, so I had to have something to kind of balance it out. So it was interesting, and I had a good time finding different artists to fulfill whatever the story required, because they're not all the same in tone, really.
No, not at all. Even the three I read, like the one with the – is it the bad guy? Kind of one of the darker stories, has a really demonic kind of feel to it, whereas, as I say, God Complex has kind of more – it's more a thoughtful kind of think piece almost, you know?
That was my one, the demon story, bad guy, because I liked the main feature, the creature that's in it is a demon, and he's kind of like an impy demon, and but he's got wit and he's got sarcasm, and yes. The story is told through his point of view, so he was just like a really cool character to get into the head of.
That's awesome, man. Like, I mean, it's true, that was the first one I read, and I was like, okay, well, I'm in for a ride here, because like I that's one thing I do love about cracking open a comic by a new creator that I'm not familiar with. I'm very much like, okay, I'm going to hit this with an open mind, and like 2 minutes in, I'm reading on the train, and I'm like, man, I'm in this story. I'm invested. And I read all three of them pretty much on the one train trip, just bang, bang, bang. And it was like, as you say, contrasting styles. I could see people out there who could really respond to this. Now, the Kickstarter, Frank, when is it going live? Like, give us the spiel, man. I'll put all the links into the show notes and everything.
July 31st.
Okay, so just coming up, yeah.
Yeah, for me is – what is that, 3-4 days from now? For you, it's probably 3 days from now.
Yeah, but, it gets confusing. There's only a day's difference, but you're right. Like, it's. I think the 31st is midweek. If I want to say Wednesday, I could be wrong. You know,
it's Tuesday.
Tuesday. There you go. Well, I am wrong. You know, not the first time on the Signal of Doom that I've got the date wrong. Now, Frank, what's your background, man? Is this your first time running a Kickstarter? Because you've put together a very professional product. Have you run Kickstarters before, or is this the first one?
I've never done a Kickstarter before. This is my absolute first one.
Okay.
And it's been a very interesting, fun, stressful learning experience.
Yeah, man. Look, to be honest, this is something that I'm paying attention to, because I've backed a couple of things in my time. I'm notoriously very cheap. But, I mean, Mike Barron tempted me at one point. A Butch Geist project tempted me at one point. It is a great, great outlet. Like, so, I mean, set the scene. Have you got, like, you know, is your house filled with boxes of these books and stuff, and you're all ready to go? What actually is your house the warehouse, is what I'm sort of saying.
I actually haven't ordered any books yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to – I mean, the book is completed.
Sure.
It's obviously trade of all stuff. So all the pages are ready. I got the printer ready. I got quotes from them. I'm just waiting to pull the trigger on how many I actually need.
Yeah, I guess,
what I'm waiting for. But to me, Kickstarter was always, I mean, what it was originally billed as, and what people, I viewed it as, was people were looking to obviously fund stuff, crowdfunding. You're looking to gain interest on a project to pay for it. And it doesn't really have to be like that. It could really be anything that you wanted it to be. So in my mind, I'm not going to bring a project to Kickstarter unless it's near or already completed, because I don't want to have that looming over my head. I don't want to say, oh, I got to get this stuff out because all these people gave me all this money and I got to finish it. I want to be in a position where I'm pretty close to done. I could say, look, I can honestly deliver this to you by the time I'm going to deliver it to you. So
I hear you, man, because otherwise I've heard stories, like kind of horror stories, of a couple of like well-known creators who've kind of, you know, it's put them under such pressure that they've kind of gone off the deep end, which I don't want to happen to you, man. And I'm really, as you say, your product's done. Like, I mean, and you're really just all about ordering and getting out there. And honestly, I want to say to listeners of Signal of Doom, this is something, like we do a lot of, I don't know if you listen to Signal, Frank, but we do a lot of, we get the image books, we get DC, but we're always looking for stuff, you know what I mean? And so Stu and I will do this one on the show, no problems at all, man. Like we'd love to. And I really encourage listeners to back the Kickstarter when it drops.
I appreciate.
You know, because, like, man, like, I mean, have you put out other books and stuff? Like, what's your history, Frank? We should do a bit of a let's do a bit of a history lesson, man. Like, give us your background. How long have you been writing? And is this your first comic? And all that kind of stuff.
So, I mean, I've been writing forever since I was a little kid.
Yeah,
and I got on a lot of fan fiction. I think is where everybody kind of gets their feet wet. At least geek writers, because they love different franchises and characters, and that's where kind of they want to imagine stories of the characters that they grew up
for with. For me, it's Punisher. Kind of, I've got this thing where I read the news sometimes, man, and I just go, oh, that's a Punisher story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, where's my computer? Let's go. But anyway, continue, man.
Yeah, so I got a whole library of fan fiction. I'm like, I got to start kind of – I love writing. Let me try to have my hat at this. So I'm a traditionally a prose writer, so I write short stories. I've been writing a couple novels and novellas, and at some point I said, you know what, I like writing. I love reading comics. Why don't I try writing comics? So Modern Testament's my first, I would say, major foray. I did a couple shorts that got into anthologies, but Modern Testament was my first series that I kind of produced, rallied together myself.
Okay. It's a very accomplished debut. Did you publish or self-publish any of your previous novels and stuff that you were writing?
No, I haven't really self-published anything.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dual novella that's like a half werewolf, half vampire story that's out with an indie horror publisher, Burning Willow Press, and I have another zombie novel, Mount Sickness, that's out with another indie horror publisher.
What was that called? So, Mount Sickness, was that right?
Yeah, that was called Mount Sickness. That was a lot of fun to put together because I had this great idea. I'm like, zombies at a ski resort. I'm like, somebody's had to have done this before. There's no way that I'm the first person ever to have come up with this idea. And
it's a great idea though.
I can't find anything with zombies at ski resorts. I see zombies at like beach resorts, and I see zombies on mountains, but nothing that's a zombie at an actual attack on a ski resort. So I dove into that, and it was just a lot of fun writing.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about it, like at a ski resort, like the isolation, and yet people clustered together in an isolated environment, it kind of writes itself when you then throw zombies into the mix.
Yeah, my favorite scene in the book is a brother and sister. Spoiler alert, but whatever.
Sure.
Brother and sister on a chairlift, and the brother turns into a zombie halfway through the chairlift ride.
So oh no!
It's like you got nowhere to go. You're stuck on the chairlift with your with your bloodthirsty brother.
And you're kind of strapped in, aren't you? Really, on the old chairlifts, you know?
Yeah. So there's only one way to go. So better get ready for a long jump.
So I'm detecting from what I've read so far and from what you're saying, I'm detecting a level of sort of a dark, sarcastic kind of humor lurking in your stories. Am I right?
That's kind of coincidental up until this point. I haven't really done that on purpose. It's not like I'm trying to pigeonhole myself into horror or some kind of darker theme. I love writing everything. So at some point in time, I definitely venture out and try to cover all my genres, all my bases. But yeah, so far that's kind of, especially Modern Testament. There are stories that are a little lighter than others, but for the most part, there's an underlying theme of darkness to all of them.
Sure. If we want to get deep for a second, I mean, well, that was what I meant to ask you, actually. Like, I know you were saying mythology. Has those kind of topics always been of interest to you? Like, or was it just a case of you pick something that you thought could kind of work? Like, you know, like, did you come from a religious background and, like, know the Bible back to front and know these kind of, like, genie stories as well? Or was it just something you sort of stumbled across in your travels?
I am not religious at all. So
you're in good company, then, Mike.
No, I'm not. I'm not religious at all. But but mythology in general has always intrigued me. I talk about this a little bit on the Kickstarter page that I remember distinctly being a kid in grade school and reading mythology books about Roman gods and Greek gods and Egyptian gods. And that's like the original soap opera, you know. They got so many characters and so many relationships, and I kind of to this day, I remember kind of how they interacted. So biblical mythology to me is just an extension of that.
Sure. That's a good point.
To be able to deal with all those characters and all their stories and origins and themes has been a lot of fun to deal with. But Modern Testament itself, I kind of stumbled onto it by accident in that the very first story of the book, well, it's not of the trade, but the first story of the first volume that was released is about an angel. Mm-hmm. And that was a short that I wrote as part of a comic writing kind of workshop class. So it wasn't like I made this big idea to say, I'm going to write a whole anthology of all about biblical mythology.
Yeah.
It was just I wrote that one story, and I said, I got this one story now. Well, what am I going to do? So I kind of, out of that, I needed to carry on that theme and put it together somehow into a book, and that's where the idea came from.
Well, it definitely worked, man. That's what I think is so impressive about it. Like, I really was reading and thinking, man, I don't know how much – because – comic writing is its own thing. Like, I'm a prose writer too. Like, I've written a few novels and stuff, but writing comics is a different medium, isn't it? Like, do you want to talk to the listeners a little bit about, like, how you had to, I guess I'd find this interesting myself. How did you go from writing novels, you're writing short stories. How was the transition to writing for comics?
The toughest thing for me was comics. Writing comics is, the pacing is so much more important than writing a short story. Mm-hmm. Because when you write a short story, or even if you write a novel, you can kind of write at your own pace. You can kind of dictate how long scenes are and how short things you want to be. But when you're writing a comic, space, real estate on a page is very, very valuable. You can't waste it on something, or you can't him over something that's very important. So you have to kind of be like a real manager as far as laying out a scene, because you need, everything needs to be precise and everything needs to be exact. Otherwise, the story really doesn't make sense, or it's told in a way that doesn't come across the way you want it to.
Yeah, I was reading or listening once to, you know, Ed Brubaker, the writer, comic writer. A guy I've got enormous respect for, and he was talking at once about writing for comics, and he's got friends in TV. He works in TV now, and he was saying guys in TV were just like, how do you get it to finish on one page to turn to the next? And he said, well, that just comes with the territory of learning it. Like, you really, as you're saying, pacing becomes so important, and like, less is more, basically.
Yeah, there's also the theory of gutter time too, meaning the time between panels. In a scene, sometimes it's a split second, but sometimes you could have a whole page where years pass. So to figure out how much time you want to pass between a panel. Like, for instance, if a guy is on one end of the room and you need him to get to the other end of the room, do you put a panel of him walking across the room, or do you kind of just have him magically teleport and have the reader assume that he walked across? It's kind of – these decisions are very little that you never think about when you're reading a comic. But writing, all these little decisions are kind of
– and you have to tell the artist that kind of thing, I assume, wouldn't you? You'd have to tell the artist – like, how do you like full script, or how do you do it?
For the most part, my scripts are pretty loose. Mm-hmm. Actually, no. I don't really know. I've had artists tell me that my scripts were a good balance of telling exactly what needs to be told while leaving enough up for them to put their own spin on it, you know?
Yeah.
Which has been a compliment. I like when artists tell me that, because it's a push and pull, you know? You don't want to overbear them with information that they need to cram into the page, but you still need, if you're writing and you got to flow to it and you want it to look a specific way, you got to put that in there. because otherwise, if you leave out certain details that will be important, it kind of sucks if they don't include that and you have to tell them after the fact, oh, by the way, you gotta fix this up.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, man. This is coming from someone – I mean, I've read comics all my life, and yet I've never taken the plunge into writing for comics. As I said, I've written a few novels, which I wouldn't mind, you know, turning into some comic stories at some point. But it is challenging, and I really appreciate how you've done it. I actually think, definitely this is – I mean, if this is your first kind of serious comics work, it's a high bar you set. Now, okay, we've got the Kickstarter coming. And like, I pray to God that it goes well and people back it and you get the book out there. What are your kind of next goals? Are you right now focused on the Kickstarter, get through that kind of thing?
A little bit. I mean, I've had stuff that I've written scripts for, artists that I've talked to, projects that are kind of just, at the beginning stages of, so it's not like as soon as it's over, I got to start from scratch, kind of figure out where I'm going to go from there.
Yeah,
but for the most part, I'm holding my breath until it's over so that I can breathe easy.
And it's your first time doing Kickstarter as well, which will be an experience. I know a guy like, you know, Jimmy Pomiati, the comic book creator. He runs Kickstarters constantly, apparently. Like, you know, I know him mainly from his Harley Quinn work he does with his wife, and he's an excellent, excellent writer. We want to have him on the show site sometime, but he runs Kickstarters with an artist he uses, I think Justin Gray, like all the time.
I mean, it's kind of a weird thing. I don't know what to expect because I've never done one before. I don't know how big my reach is, how people would react. It's good to gauge what I'm going to do next in regards to a Kickstarter based on how this one does. Mm. But at the same point, I don't want to overload my audience or people that are interested in what I do. To keep pounding out a Kickstarter just kind of seems like a little redundant. I mean, I don't know. I'm not. I guess if you're a superstar, you could kind of do that. But
yeah, no, I get it. I mean, I think he's kind of one of those guys who's got it to a fine art. But from when he's spoken about it, it sounds like a hell of a lot of work. But yeah, I mean, he's also got a presence at DC and, you know, Marvel and worked in the industry for like, you know, 20, 30 years. So, you know, he's got a built-in audience kind of thing. I had a question for you. As a comic fan, as a comic reader, what were your influences? And are you still reading like Marvel, DC, or an Image guy? Like, are you still a regular comics reader, or does this take up all your time?
I am. I do read comics. I go to the comic shop every week. I was mainly a Marvel guy.
Sure.
For years. I'm still Marvel's my favorite, but I jumped on the new 52 bandwagon, so I've been reading a couple DC titles.
Okay.
Since then. But yeah, I was just before we started chatting, I was reading a couple books. I read the new Justice League Dark. I checked out the new copy of East of West, the new Century.
Okay.
So,
we did Justice League Dark one on the show last night, actually. We discussed it. I quite enjoyed it. I quite like Justice League Dark. Yeah, as a concept, you know?
I like Justice League Dark as a concept, and kind of whenever a team book is, because you never really learn about what the story is from the ads.
It's set up, isn't it? Like the first issue?
You got to gauge it based on the members that they're going to have at the team for that whatever installment. And it looks like it's going to be a couple good members. You got Wonder Woman, Man-Bat, Swamp Thing. I'm ready to go.
I've got a question for you. This came up on the show last night. Zatanna, not in the top hat and fishnets. I wasn't feeling it, and I was, you know, the old man in the Muppets. That's what my co-host was saying. He goes, "You are the old man in the Muppets." I go, "Well, that was sometimes right."
I think they were mixing it up a little bit. There's nothing wrong with
that. I know. That's what I was told last night as well. Like, I've got to move with the times.
I like Swamp Thing's look, though. He's got the dreads. That's a nice little change.
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, it's an interesting book. I mean, that's one of the fun things about doing the show. We always do the news and sometimes a fairly mocking approach to the news, but then we've got the we always do the books at the end just to sort of balance the show out. So no matter what happens, you've got something to talk about. Like, we do a trade of the week and we do about three to four sort of weekly books. Mm-hmm. It keeps interesting. East to West is a fantastic. I think what Image have done in like the last say 10 years. Let's say 10 years. You know, roughly, it's been remarkable though. They've kind of changed the landscape in a lot of ways. Is that something that one day? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
they've put out a lot of great books. I was just gonna, yeah, I was just kind of agreeing with you.
Yeah, they really have. Like, I mean, is that somewhere you think you could find yourself one day if, like, you know, the gods move in your direction and a book at Image kind of thing, or are you actually hunting down, like, you know, a Marvel DC gig?
I think that's kind of every writer's dream. Anybody who tells you that they don't want to write for Marvel or DC is kind of lying, I think.
Yeah.
Everybody, I mean, that's how you get hooked into comics, through those characters. So at least writing one story about one of those characters is every kind of comic writer's dream. But at the same time, you always have your own stories. So Image is the top tier at this point. So everybody wants to do both. Everybody wants to at least write one story with one of their favorite characters growing up, and at the same token, have one of their own original stories come out with Image.
Yeah,
and
no, I agree.
It's a weird cycle in a way, because they say in order to get to Image, you have to have a following. And you get a following by writing at Marvel or DC, but you got to get to Marvel or DC by writing your own stuff and proving that you can write. So it's a weird kind of cycle that you go from creator-owned to big two back to creator-owned when your career starts to really flourish.
Exactly, man. Well, we wish you all the best. And, I mean, I think it's fascinating to have someone. I mean, if you become a huge star, don't forget Signal of Doom. You know what I'm saying? Like, Frank, we'll have you on anytime. When you're on Batman, please come back. okay, now, Frank, we will put up the – I'll put up the links, of course, to Kickstarter and everything in the show notes. So I'll grab those off you. And as you say, it goes live on Tuesday, right, the 31st?
Correct.
And how long does it run, man? I'm not super knowledgeable about Kickstarter. How long does a Kickstarter actually run?
I think you can engage them based on however long you want it to run.
Okay.
You can set your own goal as far as funding amount and time limit. For my taste, I'm going to go for the traditional is like 28 days or
okay.
a month.
Sure.
So my mine's going to run for 28 days.
Excellent. Okay. Well, is there anything more you'd like to say to the audience? Because I just think it's a fantastic package, and I can't wait for Signal of Doom listeners to check it out.
No, it's just if you want to check it out, moderntestamentkickstarter.com. It's kind of is where you can find it.
I think
that's kind of an easy URL, easy to communicate to people.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, it goes live Tuesday. If you check out moderntestamentkickstarter.com on Tuesday, you'll go right to the page.
Excellent. Well, Frank, thank you very much for being a part of Signal of Doom, and we wish you all the best in the future.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Thanks, man.